Go ahead and turn or tap in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to be on a bunch of different places this evening, but you can go ahead and turn or tap to Romans chapter 1. And as you do, I want you to think back to the last gift that you received. Perhaps it was a birthday gift, maybe a Christmas gift. Maybe for some of you, one of the last big gifts that you got was a graduation gift from college or grad school or something like that. And maybe it was a shirt or a monogrammed Stanley, Yeti, Hydro Flask, whatever to add to your mug collection. Maybe it was a Dutch Bros gift card, or maybe it was the universal gift card, cash. Nice framed picture of Andrew Jackson or George Washington or whoever it was that you got. And if you're like me, getting a gift is wonderful, but it brings something that you're less excited about, and that is the thank you note. The thank you note. Maybe you love writing thank you notes. My wife is very good at writing thank you notes, but I don't love writing them. I'm grateful for the gifts, but I'd love to just say a big thank you in person. And rather than trying to find a uniquely personal way to say thank you that doesn't end up sounding like a chain letter, but I know it's polite to say thank you, and according to rules of Southern etiquette, it's good to send a thank you note, especially to grandma. So if your grandma's around, write her a thank you note. She will love it. There's many ways that we can communicate gratitude to others, but it's good to stop and think about what would it be like if you didn't say thank you at all, or if you didn't even think to say thank you in any way to the people who have given you different things, given you certain things. What would it say about the person's view of that gift or of the person who gave the gift to them? What would it say about their relationship? What if somebody had given you a huge gift, maybe a car, maybe they paid off your school loans or they comped your rent or something like that, and you didn't say thank you or even think to say thank you? But now imagine we're not talking about a Christmas gift or a birthday present, but think instead about how often we fail to give thanks to God for the truly outrageously gracious ways he has blessed us far beyond the best material gifts that anyone could ever give us. How does our heart look, and how does our heart express thankfulness to God? Do we express thankfulness to God? How do we respond to God in light of all that he has done and all that he is? This is a really important question. Tonight, we're continuing in your study of respectable sins, those hidden or tolerated sins, which as Christians, we are seeking by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit to root out and to bring to light so that we might deal with them before the Lord. Recently, you looked at the specific respectable sins of ungodliness, that is not giving God the credit he is due, not thinking about God, not honoring him, living like a practical atheist, the sin of anxiety, just having the sense of unease or dread about what might happen, or even the sin of frustration, a sense of discomfort or disquiet about the thing that just happened, and we don't like it. And then last time you looked at the sin of discontentment, a sense of unease or dissatisfaction with the way things are, and I can't change it. Tonight we're going to address the equally serious hidden sin, respectable sin of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. And our focus this evening will be unthankfulness toward God rather than toward each other. Unthankfulness toward others, I think, is more symptomatic of a deeper issue, of a heart issue of unthankfulness toward God. And I think that a right reorienting of our hearts toward God in thankfulness will lead to our having a greater sense of gratitude toward one another. As we'll see, the primary object of thanks and thanksgiving in Scripture is God. Dozens and dozens of times in the Old and New Testaments, we see expressions of thanks and calls for thanks, thanksgiving, thankfulness toward God. Unthankfulness, then, is a serious sin, as we will see. As I understand it, or I should say to understand it, I think it's helpful just to kind of think about what we mean by thankfulness in the first place, and then we can think more on what unthankfulness means. Unthankfulness simply means not thankful, sort of the opposite of thankfulness. Okay, that's great, but what is thankfulness? All right, well, let's go with a working definition of thankfulness. And you could summarize thankfulness as an attitude or disposition that's characterized by active expressions of grateful praise to God for who he is and what he has done, worshiping God in response to his grace to us. Thankfulness, I think, is different than just gratitude, which is maybe just an internal sense of positive thinking toward the person who gave you. But to truly be thankful, you actually have to give thanks to someone. And when it comes to God, this is an active expression of grateful praise to him for what he's done and who he is. Thankfulness has an active component inherent with it, an expressive component. And it's an act of worship to God, ascribing to God the worth that he is due because of all that he is and all that he does. So unthankfulness then would be the failure to actively express grateful praise to God for who he is, for what he's done, as a form of neglecting this aspect of our worship despite his grace to us. So unthankfulness then could be defined as failing to actively express grateful praise to God for who he is, for what he's done, neglecting to worship him in this way despite all of the goodness that he has shown to us. So to take all of this together, what I hope we will see this evening, and this is sort of the main theme of where we're going, and that is that because of God's amazing grace to us in Christ, because of God's lavish grace toward us, we must repent of unthankfulness. We have to confess that it is the sin that it is, to repent of it, and instead worship God by expressing grateful praise to him in all things and for all things. So because of God's amazing grace to us in Christ, we must repent of unthankfulness and worship God by expressing grateful praise to him for all things and in all things. And hopefully by the time we're done this evening, you'll see all of those elements come out. You can take this approach to dealing with unthankfulness, and I think it's helpful to frame this in terms of three primary elements that we want to look at. Primary elements we need to be able to identify and then to address biblically in a way that is right and pleasing to the Lord. So three elements that go into addressing unthankfulness. And first, we're going to look at the seriousness of unthankfulness. Then a little bit of time on the source or sources of unthankfulness. And finally, spending some good time on the solution for unthankfulness. So we first need to sort of identify how serious it is, think through where it comes from, and then spend some time meditating on the solution. What do we need to do in light of that? So let's look first at the seriousness of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is a sin. So turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to see, firstly, that unthankfulness manifests itself as a sin in the fact that it is fundamentally characteristic of unbelievers, who the Bible calls ungodly. And this would include the people who are obviously opposed to God, as well as those who claim to follow God, but yet they really don't. In their hearts, they do not truly worship him. Unthankfulness or ingratitude toward God marks unbelievers and the ungodly in Romans chapter 1. Turn there, starting in verse 18, where it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God," or what? "Give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." Friend, if you are not in Christ, this verse, these verses characterize you. If you're honest with yourself, this is where you are. And for those of us who have come to know the Lord, who have repented of our sins and trusted in Christ, this is who we were. This marks all of us apart from the grace of God. Ungodly, unrighteous, suppressing the truth. Even though we know certain things about God, we don't honor him as God in our sin or, notice, give thanks. There's a close connection here between honoring God and showing thankfulness to him, and both are absent in the heart of the one who rejects God. So unthankfulness is characteristic of unbelievers. And if you want, you can turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because not only is unthankfulness a failure to give and a failure to give God thanks, a mark of those who obviously, openly reject God, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness in maybe flagrant ways, but unthankfulness is also a mark of those who are false Christians, who are said to love pleasure more than they love God, who have a form of godliness but deny its power. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. We are to avoid such men as these." Note the seriousness then of ingratitude and unthankfulness. It's listed among the traits of unloving, brutal, haters of good, treacherous. This is serious, to neglect to give God the thanks that he is due. And therefore, unthankfulness warrants being avoided by all true followers of Jesus Christ. But not only is the sin of unthankfulness serious because it's a fundamental mark of unbelievers, something that should not be tolerated in the life of the Christian, but secondly, unthankfulness is disobedient to God's commands. It's serious because it is disobedient to God's commands to give thanks. So many times we are exhorted and commanded in Scripture to give thanks. It's all through the Scriptures. You can't walk through the Psalms without stubbing your toe, so to speak, on an expression of thanks and praise. But I want us to focus on a couple of key passages in the New Testament that I think really help frame the true scope and extent of the commands to thankfulness that we, unfortunately, fundamentally disobey when we commit the serious sin of unthankfulness. So the clear commands to give thanks, which unthankfulness, by definition, is disobeying. These are texts you may be familiar with in Ephesians chapter 5, in Colossians chapter 3, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." And in a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, we read, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, words that are mounted over our kitchen table. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So putting those three texts together, we are commanded, Christian, to give thanks to God. To whom? To whom are we to give thanks? To God our Father, the one who has adopted us, by grace, made us his children. We are to give thanks to him. Why? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So many things we wonder, what is God's will for me? I know this 100% for everyone in this room. If you are in Christ, it is God's will for you to give thanks in everything. It's not optional. When are we to give thanks? We saw that we were to give thanks always. This is the idea of a continual, ongoing habit. As a Piper says, there's never a time when thanksgiving to God is not proper. And we're always giving thanks. It's just a pattern of our life. It's like breathing. That's how regular it is to be. For what? For everything. Give thanks for everything. To what extent? In everything. In all circumstances. For everything and in all circumstances. And the question is, how in the world am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to give thanks for everything and in everything all the time? This seems like a pretty tall order. And the answer to that is it takes the work of Christ for us and the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be enabled to do this. This is through Christ our Lord. He is the only one who's truly owed thanks, and he is our King, and he gave himself for us. This is through Christ, and it's by the Spirit. We are to be giving thanks. The giving thanks modifies being filled with the Spirit. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts while he uses his word to produce thankfulness in our hearts to God in all things. This is a Holy Spirit empowered ability, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit that I should say that the Spirit produces in our lives. That's the power that enables us to give thanks for all things and in all things. So unthankfulness is serious because it's characteristic of unbelievers, it's disobedient to God's commands, and lastly, it is disrespectful of God's character. If you stop to think about who is God, and we could spend the rest of our lives plumbing the depths, and we will spend all of eternity plumbing the depths of that question, but we know that he is our Father, Christian, and he is the source of all goodness. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is the source of everything good. He himself is perfectly good. Perfection of perfection of perfection. That's who God is. And so maybe we think about that and it's like, okay, God is good. He does good things. He gives good gifts. Okay, I can thank God when things are obviously good, but we should trust the character of God when things aren't obviously good. And there are lots of things going on in our fellowship that are not obviously good. They are sad and they are tragic and they break our hearts and they are a reminder that we are not home yet. And we long for a city whose foundations are eternal. We long for the return of our Savior to make all things right. Things are not good, objectively. But we turn to verses like Romans 8:28 to remind ourselves about the character of God. Romans 8:28, words, if you raised in the Christian context, you probably know this verse by heart, right? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's God's character to bring good out of evil and to work all things for good for his people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. That's who God is. He works all things after the counsel of his will. So for us to not give God thanks, even when we don't understand what's going on, even when things are difficult, we are, in a sense, disrespecting the wisdom of God, the goodness of God, the character of God in a sinful way. Unthankfulness, then, is very, very serious. So not only do we need to consider the seriousness of unthankfulness, but think also for a couple minutes about the source or sources of unthankfulness. Why is it that we fail to give thanks to God? Well, like all sin, I think at the heart of unthankfulness is wrong thinking about God, as we just thought about just a moment ago. We think about his works and we think about his word wrongly. I think one way that we do this involves a right perspective that is rejected. We reject in practice, even if just by neglect, the right way of thinking about God. We have examples in Scripture of the right way of thinking, the right way of giving praise. Listen to just a few passages from the book of Psalms that depict right thinking about God that motivates thankfulness. And these are just a few examples of almost 50 exhortations in the book of Psalms to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 52:9, I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Psalm 75:1, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. Your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Or Psalm 107, verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders, and for his wonders to the children of men. Psalm 138, 1 and 2. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. Psalm 139, 14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Why do the psalmists give thanks to God? It's because of who he is. He is good, and he is before all gods. They give him thanks because of what he has said, for his truth, and for his magnified word. We give thanks to God for his works, his wonders to the sons of men, his loving kindness, his steadfast love. This is all how we are to think about thankfulness. And so when we are being thankful, we are rejecting this right perspective. But not only that, we sometimes take on a wrong perspective. We accept a wrong perspective about God. What possible wrong perspective could we have? I think oftentimes we neglect to give thanks to God and even give thanks to others because of a sense of personal entitlement, right? We are the king. I'm king and God serves me. I pray and God does what I say. It's just, I would even say that out loud, but if we're honest with ourselves, that's where our heart often is. We maybe view God as our servant or our employee. Now, you might say thank you or be thankful to an employee or a waiter or someone who serves you in a business context, but you kind of don't have to, right? I mean, they're just doing their job. You know, when you say, oh, thank you for bringing me my meal that I'm paying you this amount for and a tip and all of this. I mean, it's nice to say thank you, but it's not really a gift, right? There's a transaction happening here. It's very transactional in that business context. Consider the parable Jesus referenced in Luke 17. He says, which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. The point of that parable is not necessarily making a big point about entitlement, but I think that's that picture, right, that Jesus references. You know, if a servant comes in and it's their job to set the table, the master is well within his or her rights to say, go do the dishes, I'm going to eat, and then you can eat later, and doesn't have to say thank you in this type of relationship. God is not our employee. We do not have a transactional relationship with God. That is at the heart of what idolatry is and false worship. All kinds of worship are sort of at the base, some sort of transaction. I do this for you, you do this for me. There's a little quid pro quo between me and God. And as long as I'm holding my end of the bargain-ish, God's going to hold his end of the bargain, yeah, all the way. That is not how it works at all. The grace of God, we ignore the grace of God and how lavishly generous God is, because I think oftentimes we're maybe ignorant of God's generosity. We haven't spent enough time to meditate on the immensity of grace. We haven't, as we've been exhorted to by, I can't remember the famous person who said, preach the gospel to yourself every day, but they were right when they said it, because it's as we do that, Christian, that we remember, this is all of grace from beginning to end. I don't deserve this. So maybe we have a sense of entitlement. We're just ignorant of just how generous God is. We don't even think about it. Maybe we have a sense of independence. We act as though we don't need God, which if you stop to think about it, how many things exist in this life that you need God for? And it's like all of them, right? Breath, you know, you just expect there to be oxygen in the air. It's there. Food, gravity that's holding all of us down. Think of the passage, and I think it's 2 Corinthians, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 4, 1 or 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, like, why do you act like you didn't receive it? We could spend the rest of this evening listing out the things that were gifts to us by God, and hopefully we will spend some time doing that. Regardless of whether we have a right perspective that we reject or a wrong perspective that we accept, these are some of the places where unthankfulness can spring from. So let's go, as we move toward the end, toward the source, we've looked at the source of unthankfulness, but let's think about the solution to unthankfulness. Okay, it's a problem, yes. It is something we maybe don't want to deal with. We recognize where it comes from, but then what do I do about it? So the third and final element of dealing biblically with the respectable sin of unthankfulness, as we look at the solution, we have to begin first and foremost by depending on Christ. I have to tell you that you will never be able to give God the thanks that he deserves. You don't even know the number of things that God is worthy of being thanked for. And you don't have enough life and strength and breath as a mortal to be able to thank God as he truly deserves. We have failed and will fail and fail to give God thanks, even though it's serious, even though we know where the source comes from. We fall short of the glory of God in terms of giving God thanks. And no amount of reformation, of changing yourself or changing your thinking in and of itself is going to fix that problem. Our only hope for victory over the sin of unthankfulness, for cleansing from past sin of unthankfulness, is found in depending and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all of the respectable sins. It is the perfection of Christ. It's the sacrifice of Christ. It's his perfect life lived in the place of sinners. It's his substitutionary death died in the place of sinners. And it's the truth that he was raised again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, showing that he truly had paid for all of the unthankfulness of sinners who would trust in him. 1 Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, no unthankfulness was ever committed by our Lord Jesus Christ, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He never spoke or thought wrongly about the thankfulness that God is due. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. And this is the truth, the precious, glorious gospel truth that is the solution to unthankfulness. It is the work of Christ. We are to trust in Christ. And friend, if you are here and you have not done that, I pray that a lesson on unthankfulness will be what the Holy Spirit uses to show you that that's just a tiny little bit of all of the way in which that you are in opposition to God, and just a tiny glimpse of the vast problem of sin that is in your life. but also a tiny glimpse of the bright glory of Christ to wash you clean and to forgive you of unthankfulness and to restore you in fellowship with God and to give you a new heart that truly has Holy Spirit-powered thankfulness coming out of it, spilling forth as you meditate on the glory of Christ. Look to Christ. If you have not, repent of the sin of unthankfulness and the other sins in your life that you know of and trust upon Christ, the perfect one. Look to Christ who gave thanks for the loaves and the fish in Matthew 15. Look to Christ who gave thanks to the Father at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, and who gave thanks for the cup and the bread at the Last Supper. Look to Christ. Jesus in his humanity perfectly worshiped the Father through expressions of thanks to God for his goodness. Jesus simultaneously displayed bold and unreserved trust in the Father's goodness and turned to the Father for help, and at the same time offered humble, non-presuming thanks and praise to the Father. And he did that in our place and for our example, Christian. So look to Christ. The solution for unthankfulness is found firstly in depending on Christ. Secondly, the solution after that for dealing with unthankfulness is renewing your mind with God's word to develop right thinking about God and the many reasons he's worthy of our thanks. Realize that thanksgiving is an act of worship. A part of the Old Testament sacrificial system involved a category of offerings called thanksgiving offerings. It was a tangible way that an Old Testament believer could express thanksgiving to God. So then think now about these words in Hebrews chapter 13, 15, on this side of the cross, where it says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." Okay, sacrifice of praise. What does that look like, Christian? Hebrews 13, 15. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Giving thanks to God is our worship to God through Christ. We need to believe by faith that God is good and does good, Psalm 119, 68. We need to believe that he is our loving heavenly Father and will provide all that we need, that when we get the provision we need, that we see that is coming from the hand of our loving heavenly Father from whom every good and perfect gift comes. And to believe when I'm in the valley, in the darkness, that my Father has not changed, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I can still thank him for that, and that he is with me, and he will never leave me or forsake me. We need to believe, Romans 8, 28, that God causes all things to work together for good. We need to remember there's a subtle yet important distinction between maybe our optimist friends who say, oh, everything's going to work out all right in the end. Romans 8:28 doesn't say everything is going to work out all right in the end. It says that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. God is actively involved in the goodness turning of those things because he is involved and God is worthy of our thanks. We need to believe Romans 8:32 that says, "For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" All the things that you need and that I need will be freely given to us by our Father who did not hold back his own son. That's how good and gracious God is. Or in the midst of whatever trial you are in, to believe Romans 8:38 and 39, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are the ways that we can be renewing our mind. And then lastly, the solution for unthankfulness is giving God thanks. It's the opposite. We are to give God thanks. In what ways? Well, firstly, we're to give God thanks always. That is a continual attitude of thankfulness, of humility even, toward God. That God's grace, our need, his sufficiency, God is going to supply all of my needs. We remember that every good and perfect gift comes from above, not me. 1 Corinthians 4:7, which I referenced earlier. Who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? All of those things, all the time, are gifts from God. Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, for he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. So for every breath, always we can breathe in and breathe out thanks, thanks, thanks. It is a continual attitude of thanksgiving. So we are to give thanks always. We are to give thanks for everything. A lot of categories here. Here's some of the ones that that I found the scripture speaks to explicitly. What are some things that we can give thanks for? Well, physical blessings. What about food? Ever wonder why it is that we pray before we eat? 1 Timothy 4:3-5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. There's to be a heart of gratitude, and it's that heart of gratitude that roots us in trusting the Lord and receiving the good gifts that he has given for the good gifts that they are, even though there may be some who would try to cause us to reject that. So we thank God for our food. We can thank God for physical healing. This is at the heart of the story of the 10 lepers who Jesus heals. They go away and only one comes back, the Samaritan, to give thanks to Jesus in Luke 17, giving thanks that he had been healed by Jesus. It is right for us to give thanks to God when we are healed. Never stop to think about every disease that you've ever had in your life that you lived through. God answered those prayers to get you through that cold or COVID or that surgery or whatever it was. Give thanks, even for the way God used medicine and your immune system, but God is the one who gives the healing. Preservation in face of danger, Acts 27. As they're there in the storm, on the sea, as Paul is on his way to Rome, Paul says in Acts 27:34, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from your head or any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. We are to give thanks for the authorities that God has placed in our life. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and sincerity. Offering prayers, petitions and thanksgivings, even for those authorities who are clearly in opposition to the Lord. But there is reason to give thanks for those physical or practical blessings, but also spiritual blessings. 2 Timothy 1:3 talks about giving thanks for the growth that we see in others. 2 Timothy 1:3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. You know, as you see the growth of your fellow brothers and sisters in this room, and as you see the way your leaders pour into you, and as people come into the group and people go out from the group, isn't it amazing at this, the Lord worked it out that you'd be spending some time today saying thank you to Kevin and Rebecca today, and you can give thanks for the work of God in them and through them in your group. That is something that we can give thanks for. That's one of the everything things that we can thank God for. We can thank God for answered prayer. We can thank God ultimately for the indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15, the indescribable gift of God's grace toward us in Christ. So physical and spiritual blessings. And then lastly, giving thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances, no matter the circumstances. Thankfulness is such an antidote, anti-venom, to so many, even of the respectable sins that you've talked about and that you are going to. This is one of those sharp words, those truths that you can use to fight off the attacks of the evil one and the ideas that would seem to raise themselves in opposition to Christ. So we need to give thanks in all circumstances. What about when you're discontent? right? Your career plans haven't worked out as you wanted them to. Your relationship hasn't materialized or gone where you wanted it to. You have a chronic illness or something like that, right? There can be discontentment that breeds. Thankfulness is a way for us to remember what is true about God and to meditate on what is true, to rehearse the truths of the gospel to ourselves. We're to give thanks even when we're discontent or when we're anxious, right? When we're anxious about the things that might be, we need to thank God that he hears your prayers in Christ. He knows what's going on and what you're afraid of. He cares for you, and he will act in what is needful. So when you're anxious, give thanks. When you're discontent, give thanks. When you're frustrated, God, thank you that your plans are never frustrated. All your plans for me are good. Even this spilling coffee on my computer, even spilling water in your car, no matter what comes in your life, you can give thanks to God. When you're tempted to be jealous or covetous about that good thing that somebody else has, their relationship, their job, their car, their house, their whatever it is, to thank God. Thank you, God, for the things that I have. Thank you, God, for the situation you've placed me in. Thank you for my singleness. Thank you for my difficult boss and the opportunity that I have to show the grace of Christ to him or to her. Thank you for this, even the fact that this relationship is strained, that you are with me and that you love me and that you will never leave me or forsake me. When you're angry, thank God that even though I'm not getting what I want right now and things aren't going my way, God, you are perfectly just. I can trust you to work out this situation. And even when you are heartbroken, when you lose a loved one, and we know something about that in our church, as there have been many that have affected ministries, some well-known, some not as well-known, who have lost loved ones in recent days. We can give thanks, as Job did. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's only by that Holy Spirit power that I can give thanks in the middle of heartbreak. When I was 8 years old, my little brother passed away at home from cancer after a 4-year bout, and I was there when he passed. And it's only by the grace of God that I can say, thank you, God, for my brother's life. Thank you, God, for keeping me from walking away from the Lord and having a heart of bitterness toward God. Thank you, Lord, for a woman that none of you've ever met. Her name is Miss Margaret, who was there with me and loved me and my family on that morning when my brother passed. There are things, even in the midst of heartbreak, that we can thank God for, because God has not changed and he will make all things right. We give thanks to God our Father through Christ by the Spirit. And we do this in light of his amazing grace to us in Christ. God is amazingly gracious to us in Jesus. And by his power, let us repent of unthankfulness, and let us worship God by expressing grateful praise to him for all things and in all things. And let's do that together. Because it might be easy for me to give thanks right now, but it's hard for you to give thanks. And I can come alongside you, and we can be together, and we can pray together. That is the blessing of the church in days good and days bad, that we can give thanks to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are good. We confess that you are good even when it is difficult, even when we hear the tragic news, even when we get the raise, even when things work out the way we planned or they don't work out. Regardless, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are good and you do good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lived a perfect life of thankfulness to the Father in our place, and that you offered yourself as a sacrifice, as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of all who would trust in you. Lord, for those of us who know you and who love you, may we rejoice in that. May we meditate on that. May the truth of the gospel fuel our praise, even now as we sing. And I pray for those who do not know you, Lord, that you would, through your word, stir in their hearts to see the glory of Christ. Open their eyes, Holy Spirit, that they might see the wonder of Christ, so that they would truly see their sin for what it is and hate it, and see Jesus for all he is and all his glory, and they would love him and they would run to him. I pray, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. This is who you are, God, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.